what's at stake in these kinds of things psychologically for the people whose backyard it is, who are the neighbors, and for the public?
A lot of it has to do with this relationship to place. And I'll say there are two aspects of that. One is relationship to the natural environment in general. And I'll return to that in a second. But the second is relationship with a particular place, which could be, you know, your backyard, your house, your community. So a place where you have a personal history and specific experiences in that place that, you know, you have a memory of. Because we construct our sense of who we are based largely on our memories of our experiences and then our interpretations of those experiences in terms of what's important and what do they mean. So the more memories you have of a place, the more it becomes sort of central to your self-definition. And ownership is part of that. But of course, psychological ownership and legal ownership are not necessarily the same thing. So people might feel a strong sense of ownership to what was a public space or even a private space, but nobody had been paying attention to it. And so it was open to the public, just that they've had access to for years. And then these experiences, to the extent that they have a social or an emotional component. So if it's a place that was beautiful, so maybe you went out there and you just felt, you know, this very positive emotion of pleasure and even awe, perhaps, or you just went there with people who were important to you. And so you have positive emotions or significant emotions associated with going there in those social contexts. And so that makes the places even more important. So, you know, we could have memories of going to the same grocery store every day for, you know, 20 years. That's probably not going to be as significant to our identity because we don't usually have those really powerful social and emotional experiences in the grocery store. But outdoor settings like this, we do, we often do.
How do you think about the view alone in a place like Colorado Springs, where this mountain is the central topographical feature, unlike someplace like, say, New York, where the built environment, the architecture is central to the views? How do environmental psychologists think about those kinds of relationships to land and place when it can be as simple as something like a view?
Yeah, so there are two things going on there. I think one is that, you know, a particular feature of the landscape can be iconic, which is, I think, what you're suggesting, iconic to that place. And so to the extent that people have a sense of themselves as, you know, being a local, that place becomes particularly important. So even an equally beautiful place that is not so iconic might not be as important. But then there's also the extent to which we really do respond emotionally to certain landscapes. Some people have theorized that there might be an evolutionary component to this, that because we, you know, in the environment in which we were evolving, it essentially had adaptive value for us to form emotional links to a landscape to kind of encourage us to stay put in spots that were able to support us and, you know, provide resources. So those, we have that positive response to. And, you know, in our memory, having an emotional reaction to something is like a little tag in memory. It makes that memory more important and more likely to, you know, essentially come to the top of our mind when thinking about other things. There's actually quite a lot of evidence that that spending time in natural settings or even being able to look at them through your window has positive effects on people.
Hey, how are you? You sure got a way of greeting a man. Might have had the perfect suntan. You're riding on your yellow Schwinn. I'm blasting classic rock in spring. A couple of summer demons with battery recharging. When you hear that Bob Seger song, you know I'll be long.